Inevitably, the machine winds down. The year 1842 was the peak of Port Arthur, with well over 1,200 convicts. At that time, it was a bustling place of industry and would have been one of the most populated settlements in Van Diemen's Land. 1853 brought the end of transportation to Van Diemen's Land and the slow, inevitable decline of Port Arthur. During the last 6 months of operations, there were only 50 or so convicts here, and the machine finally closed in September of 1877. During its 47 years, Port Arthur saw around 7,200 convicts who served in excess of 13,000 sentences. Repeat offenders were not that unusual. George Britton, transported 7 years for stealing clothes, would accumulate one of the longest convict records in Van Diemen's Land history. He would serve 6 sentences at Port Arthur and 2 on Norfolk Island. One could definitely consider George Britton to be an incurable, and he's still here. He's buried on Isle of the Dead. As the prison closed, tourism began. In fact, just a few months after the last convicts left in 1877. Many of the houses would become hotels to accommodate the curious, including, at one stage, the separate prison. But although alterations were started, mercifully fire intervened. Tourism has continued ever since, and Port Arthur is a must-see for anyone visiting the state. 1874, Marcus Clarke's For the Term of His Natural Life was published. The semi-fictionalised account of the tragic life of a convict was a very popular book, which has been adapted for stage and screen. This work generated great interest in Port Arthur for years to come. For a brief time in the 1880s, Port Arthur was renamed Carnarvon in an attempt to do away with the convict stain. Generations of Australians felt shame over their links to a convict past and would deny and remove any connection to this part of their history. However, people continued to call this place Port Arthur, and over time the name and notoriety proved to be more attractive than repulsive as Australians finally came to terms with and became more curious about their convict past. 1884, 85, land and buildings were auctioned. The military barracks were dismantled and the materials taken to Hobart to build houses. I believe the asking price for the church with land was around £12. Thankfully, nobody bought it. 1895, a major bushfire raged through the settlement, destroying many of the buildings. In 1897, another fire pretty much destroyed what was left, including the penitentiary. However, the fact that Port Arthur's buildings were now ruins did not in any way discourage visitors. In fact, it did quite the opposite. In a ruined state, Port Arthur gained a more gothic, even romantic aspect. By the 1920s, 1930s, the Port Arthur area had 3 hotels and 2 museums, not to mention tour guides catering to tourism. The Scenery Preservation Board was created to manage the site and also saw the reinstatement of the name Port Arthur. The historic site has been managed by the current Port Arthur Historic Site Management Authority since 1987, with funding for conservation work being provided by the Tasmanian Government. Sadly, in 1996, tragedy struck the site and 35 people lost their lives. The Port Arthur Massacre. A memorial can be found at the site of the former Broad Arrow Cafe. And in 2010, the site gained World Heritage status as a part of an 11-site nomination known as the Australian Convict Sites World Heritage Property. You can find 5 of these properties right here in Tasmania. The Port Arthur Prison was founded on an idea which was then quite new, that prisoners could be reformed while still being punished. The principles of classification, separation, surveillance, discipline, education and training are still cornerstones of many present-day penal systems. We still wrestle with the idea that we can simultaneously reform and punish, but the machine, to grind rogues honest, is still grinding away regardless. And it is with that thought I will leave you to enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.